Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century.
All right, we're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest, as promised, is our good friend John Stanton. Let me tell you a little bit about him. In addition to being one of our customer service, customer care experts on the show, he is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. John has spent many years as a professional career as a scholar and a teacher and as a practicing marketer. He's held positions of vice president of marketing for a multinational coffee company, and he was responsible for corporate customer service. He worked in Germany for the world's largest food retailer, and he is currently a professor at St. Joseph's University. He's written 4 books, including the one I'm holding in my hand, which I'm going to give 1 or 2 away this hour, called Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service. John, welcome back.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back with us. And folks, the book that I'm holding in front of me, Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service, is outstanding. It's a book, it's a resource that you need to keep on your desk. And I've got 1 or 2 of these I want to give away. And all you have to do, if you want to get one of these for free, is to answer one of my trivia questions. And here is a couple of them. All in the Family premiered on this day. What was the nickname of the son-in-law of that TV series? The nickname of the son-in-law. Rob Reiner was the guy's name in real life, but he had a name. I don't want to know his real name on the show. I want to know his nickname. Also, the League of Nations was formed this week in 1920. What is the name of the organization that replaced the League of Nations? Answer one of those two trivia questions, and we'll send you a copy of John's book, Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service. John, and by the way, folks, you do that by calling 888-822-8255, or use that number to call and ask me or John a question. John, one of the things that I know that's on your mind is the customer audit, and I want to talk about that, but before we do, you just got back from a trip to South America. Tell us about that.
Well, I was down in Brazil and
Rio
de Janeiro, yeah. And I get down there fairly often to do some speeches down there.
You go down there to see the thongs, right?
Boy, you can't miss them.
And this is their summertime.
This is their summer. The beaches are packed. Rio de Janeiro is a very special city.
Hey, John, your timing's not lost on me. I just want you to know that. But I do know you took your wife, too. So
I always behave myself.
She had the blinders on, I'm sure.
Like I tried to explain to her, just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
Are you still using that thing? I could never get away with that.
She's not in the room now.
Spoke to her yesterday. She told me she had you under control.
That's right. But, you know, Brazil is a really interesting business city, too, because there are so many small business people down there, too. And they're really struggling. Their customer service is probably not 50% of ours. Mm-hmm. And the people that are really trying to make it are starting to focus on customer service. One of the speeches I gave down there about 6 months ago was to the Supermarket Association. And the topic they wanted us to speak on is customer service. As economies, you know, move from basically trying to get goods available to people to everyone has the same goods, doesn't matter where you are, United States, Brazil, or any place else, serving the customer eventually becomes the differentiating factor.
Right.
Everybody can get the goods. And it's kind of fun. Each time I go back, you see a little bit better customer service. You see a little bit more attention to the details of business, et cetera.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You would love it down there because, I mean, there are just so many small shopkeepers and so many small businesses, and these people really work hard, and it's a nice place to be.
Well, you know, and you, as we've talked about before, I've not been to Rio. I've been to São Paulo. I've been to the southern part of Brazil. I've been to Canoas and Curitiba and the state of Paraná and some of those other places down there. I was down there about 3 or 4 years ago, and I agree with you. The interesting thing about that part of the world, especially Brazil, is that I had some Brazilian visitors to my house in a Rotary exchange about 7 or 8 years ago, and they were telling us about how inflation was that year.
Right.
And she said, inflation is 30%. And as I gasped, she said, a month. 360% a year. That was inflation.
Yeah.
The way they buy cars down there, folks, the average person doesn't go out and buy a car. They join a little cooperative. They put their money in. They make their payments every month. And then sometime during the next 5 years, they will be one of the people to get a car.
Yeah.
That was as late as 3 years ago that they told me that.
Yeah. Well, they actually, about 3 years ago, really got this inflation under control. And that has made such a big difference to the economy. And it's done well. Now, right now, they're struggling.
Yeah.
Like so many other countries are. But
they're having a financial crisis. They're part of the financial crisis of the around the globe right now.
Yeah.
How is that manifesting itself down there now?
Not at all.
It's not?
No. The financial crises that you see generally they have like an enormous dramatic effect one time, but it doesn't have this everyday impact.
Like it was having when they had the inflation.
I think everyone in Brazil, I think anyone who's ever lived in a country would pick this type of financial crisis they have to the inflation. The inflation was so unbelievable. And of
insidious.
Course, the small shopkeepers and had to have different ways of dealing with this. And one of the things that they used to do, this was like a standard promotion. If you bought something, you could predate your check or postdate your check, whichever it is, so they couldn't cash it for about 4 or 5 days. That would be equivalent to like a 20% discount on the
price.
Golly. Right? Because if they don't cash it and that you got 30% inflation a month,
right,
they just give you a few days of holding your money in the bank,
right,
you're ahead of the game.
That I never thought about how the float would be affected in an inflationary spiral like that.
You know what? When you have 30% a month, the float is just all you think about.
You can
sell all the product in the world, and if you don't deal properly with the float, you go out of business.
I had never thought about that. Do you speak Portuguese?
Sim, eu falo pouco português.
I got you. Well, so they don't have to have a translator. When I went down there, of course, I tried to learn a little bit of it, but I do not speak Portuguese, and so when I went down there, they had to do a little translating for me.
Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but, the most common language spoken in South America is Portuguese.
Yeah.
Everyone,
That's
of
right.
course, thinks Spanish,
mm-hmm.
but Brazil's larger than the rest of South America combined.
That's right, and that's all they speak there is Portuguese.
That
and
is some,
they do speak English, though. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about customer audits with our good friend John Stanton. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, folks. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, John Stanton. He's the author of the book, Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service, along with his co-author, Richard J. George. And John is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's a professor at St. Joseph's University, which is very near, hard by, as some people say, to Philadelphia. Is that right?
That is exactly correct.
Is St. Joseph's actually in Philadelphia?
Half of it's in Philadelphia and half of it's on the other side of the street.
I see. What is that on the other side of the street?
That is...
Not Camden.
Ardmore. No.
Ardmore.
Yeah.
Camden's the other way.
Bryn Mawr, excuse me.
Bryn Mawr, okay.
Yeah. But, this is a well-known street because on the Philadelphia side you pay city wage tax and on the other side of the street you don't.
Ah.
So there's a big fight to who's going to teach in the classrooms that are on the other side of the street.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'll be done. I can't believe that. Let's get back into, and by the way, folks, the number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to ask John a question, if you want to answer one of my trivia questions about that we've given you out today, and we'll send you a copy of John's book, Delight Me. It's all about customer service. John, before we get into customer audits, I wanted you to tell us just a little bit more about how customer service is in Brazil and what challenges they've got down there.
Well, they're probably about the way the U.S. was 25, 30 years ago. Really, for the longest time, people, there was more demand than there were goods. And so when you went into a store, they considered the customer lucky that they would sell them something. Customer service was pretty poor, and it was really a seller's market. Slowly but surely, this has been changing. But again, just like in the U.S., the attitudes of the people doing business didn't keep up with this. So a lot of these people still made people wait in long lines, still really didn't keep things proper for small businesses dealing with business people. They didn't really care whether they got their orders on time or whether their orders were correct and things like that. And so now what's happening is there are a lot of people going out of business because they still have the old mental set that they can do what they want to the customer. They're lucky we'll sell it to them. Now, I got news for you, and you know it as well as I do. There's still people like that in the U.S.
Oh, that I believe it.
And you know, I'll tell you one example. I mean, the U.S. Postal Service, they raised their rate a penny. I have no problem with raising their rate a penny.
I do.
But they didn't do a good job of telling people.
Mm-hmm.
So they did an interview on one of the network TV stations about, you know, no one knew, everyone forgot, et cetera. And they said, you know, you ran like 20 commercials in the last 2 days for this overnight, you know, the special delivery stuff they do. But you never told people the rates went up. And the agent, the spokesperson says, we believe we did enough.
Well, that's negative PR. They don't want to tell you, they want to sell. They don't want to tell you that they raised the prices.
Well, it's not PR. I mean, you know damn well that if you're in business and you have a small business and you're going to raise the prices, the people, you have to let them know that.
Yeah.
It's not a question of PR.
Yeah.
It's just a question of good business practice. You can imagine if you're selling gaskets, and I don't know why I think of gaskets this morning, but you know, you're selling gaskets and you send someone an invoice for more money than you sent them before, and you say, oh, yeah, I raised the price.
Right.
You never do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We still have some.
No, you're right about that. You got to let them know before you do it.
Sure. And
no question about it.
And yeah, I mean, this person was just so arrogant. We told them enough. Apparently, you didn't. If they have a whole TV show,
right,
you know, on network news about how you didn't raise, people forgot about the pricing.
Well, part of the problem that I've got with customer service in America is I'm not saying that the companies don't think customer service is important. But the people that work for these companies, many of them, especially the younger generation, just don't. It's like they're not really getting into their job. It's like that they, I don't know what it is, but I remember being a young pup, and I remember being so thankful that I had a job, that I had a good attitude. I mean, I was glad to be working there.
Yeah. Well,
and even though I may not have been. Consciously saying, I want to make sure the customer's happy.
Right.
I was happy to be there, and so that came across.
Well, you know, two comments on that. One thing, things really have changed in the sense that when I went to school, a job was almost rumored around, don't tell anyone, but there's a job opening.
Yeah.
And people would go, and we were just thankful to get a job. There's no question about that. Of course, my father walked 10 miles to school, so I guess this is the...
Right, uphill both ways.
Yeah, and this is our version of this. But I will say this. I still believe that it is a crisis of management, not a crisis of employees.
I agree with you. Hold on to that, John. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with John Stanton and a caller. Chuck tells me we have a caller. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is John Stanton. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He is a professor at St. Joseph's University, but he has quite a bit of experience in the marketplace, and he is the author of Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service. And we're talking about customer service, but right now Chuck tells me we have a caller. Who we got, Chuck?
Got Howard in Niceville, Florida.
Hi, Howard. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Howard.
Say hi to John Stanton.
Good morning, John.
Good morning to you.
What can we do for you, Howard?
Oh, I was driving in. I listen to the program every morning.
Thank you.
And I had heard your quiz, and I...
My
always
previous question.
Yes, sir.
Which one?
Either one. What, United Nations or Meatball?
Well, not... Howard, you're not supposed to be piggy.
Oh, okay.
You're not supposed to do both of them. Now you blew it.
See? Oh, I see.
Now somebody else will have to call in. I'll have to give one away for nothing, see? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Wait a minute. You missed the first one.
Meatball.
No. Yeah, you missed. That's wrong. That's not right. See, you had me thinking you were right. It's not Meatball. But don't say the right one.
Okay.
Because we're going to get some. But you did get the other one.
All right.
United Nations.
Yeah.
See, you thought you were being cute there, didn't you, Howard?
Well, that's why I thought they were both right. Well, I didn't. I thought you wanted them both.
No, I'm just teasing you. I'm just having a little fun with you, Howard.
That's all right, yeah.
Trying to get your juices going this morning so you can be ready to go to work. What do you do? Would you like to say what you do for a living, Howard?
Sure, if you want. I'm the business manager for a contractor that provides support to an Air Force base.
Small company? You work for small business?
No, it's a large business, but we do a lot of small business work.
Right.
Could we ask you an easier question next time?
Would you like to ask John a question, Howard?
Besides just letting me be a wise guy here, Howard?
Yeah, no. Well, we do a lot of small business, and it's, always out searching for more small businesses and women-owned businesses, small disadvantaged. We do quite well, actually, at achieving our goals.
What kind of customer service are you seeing from the people, the small businesses that you deal with?
Actually, very good, the ones we do.
Good.
We're mainly into providing services to the Air Force.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And So customer satisfaction is, really a key for us.
Mm-hmm.
So
Howard, they're making a really big push. I don't know how much of it is public relations. You will know better than me. But at least they're claiming that they're really trying to make customer service an important part of the military operations. I did a seminar for one of the defense buying groups on customer service. At least, as I say, you probably have a lot more knowledge than I do, but they seem to be saying, look, we're going to make this part of what we're doing now and not just focusing on the items. Is there any truth to that?
I have to agree with your assessment. Yeah, that's certainly our focus. Obviously, that's the only way we get repeat business or follow-on work of any nature is if the customer is happy to start with.
Right.
And especially in the competitive environment we're in, you got to do that.
Yeah. Howard, people used to argue that when you dealt with the government, it was just the lowest bid for the specs that they asked for, and you customer service wasn't an issue at all. And again, I'm told that people are really letting the quality of the business also have some influence on whether someone gets a contract or not.
I think for tons of years, low price is the only thing.
Yeah.
Of course, I heard an acquisition official say he never lost a protest on awarding it to a low price.
Mm-hmm.
But what they come out and say is, it's best value.
Yes, yes.
Which then puts past performance right at the forefront.
Yep.
Yep.
A matter of how much that, in the weighting of the factors,
yep.
You'll see cost is in there, but it is not the only
factor.
Anymore.
Howard, I'm really glad to hear that because I have not had that frontline knowledge. I've just heard the people talking about this, and I think you and I know that a lot of people can talk about things, but it never happens. I'm glad, at least, that it appears to be happening.
I know of several contracts that were let on best value,
mm-hmm.
Which included a significant amount for
Performance
capabilities.
Well, one thing that we know, guys, and this is something real important to small business owners out there who are contemplating or in the process of submitting a bid to a company like yours, Howard, or to the government directly, and that is that the government has fewer and fewer people to monitor and to manage the projects, and so they rely more and more on the contractors. And so the value-added portion of your proposal is critical, isn't it, Howard?
Oh, definitely.
And therefore, the customer service.
Well, from our point of view, it reflects on us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, as people go forth and we hire a sub or some vendor to do a particular function, people don't look at them. They look at us if there's something that goes awry.
Right. You bet.
Yeah.
So for us, we don't want to have that black eye, so it's...
Sure.
Avoid it because obviously we're in the business to provide service.
Howard, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I enjoy it.
Good. Howard, stay on the line so Chuck can get your address and we'll send you a copy of John's book.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Howard. See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasting, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with John Stanton. I got one more trivia question. Howard missed the one about All in the Family. It's not Meatball. It's close, but not hardly. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasting, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is John Stanton. John is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He is the author of the co-author of an outstanding book called Delight Me, The 10 Commandments of Customer Service, which is a book that we've talked about quite a bit on this show before. We've given several of them away, including one this hour. Still have one more to go if you want to answer one of my last trivia questions, which is, what was the nickname of the son-in-law of the show All in the Family? And let me give you one more in case anybody wants to try this one. Ray Bolger was born yesterday, and one of his great roles was in an outstanding classic. And I want to know what the name of that movie is, and I'll give you a hint. Judy Garland was in that movie. That's a little bit of a hint. Maybe it won't be so hard. 888-822-8255. John, let's talk about customer audits.
Sure.
Tell us what that is.
Well, you know, we were talking just a minute ago about the fact that it seems like the people at the front lines, especially the new people, just aren't paying attention to the customers the way we thought some of us did in the past. And I said, you know, that's not their fault. That's the fault of management. I was in a diner the other day and walked in, and the waitress just looked at me and said, "How many?" Now, I go to this diner a lot. "How many?" Walk over, points to a seat, throws a couple of menus on the table, and walks away. And I said to my wife, I said, "You know, how much does it cost for her to smile and say, you know, good morning when you come in?" And when she says, "Is this seat okay for you?" And you know, we have some really good specials. I mean, just a few words.
Anything.
To us. Anything. I mean, she actually didn't say a word. And Carol said, "You know, these people." I said, "Carol, it's the boss." And the boss was over there and was actually watching this whole interaction. And I said to myself, he's the problem, not her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that if you're small business people if their employees are not giving good customer service, don't change the employees, change their attitudes.
Yep.
But in order to do that, you really have to understand where are all the places that your customers are coming in contact with your company. And to do that, we call it a customer audit. Now, the whole purpose of the customer audit is to try and focus on each interaction, because every time you have an interaction between your company and a customer, that's a chance to give good or bad customer service of some sort, to help delight the customer or to disappoint the customer. And so what we ask people to do is to literally sit down or go out and develop a list of every single place that the customer comes in contact with the company. Now, we'll use an example of a retail shop, just because it's a little more visual that we can explain on the telephone. But you can imagine that a person is driving up the street, heading to your little store. What's the first contact they see?
A sign.
Well, they pull into the driveway and they see the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, find a place to park and they see the front of your store. I mean, right there you have two interactions. Now, a lot of people, and this is a surprising thing to me, a lot of shopkeepers say, "Well, you know, I don't have anything to do. I just, someone else is in charge of that driveway."
Mm-hmm.
Customers don't know that.
That's right.
That's one of the things. If you ever see McDonald's, they have McDonald's employees out around the streets picking up all the trash. Now, I mean, I think that's brilliant. It's brilliant because they always have to have their uniforms on. You're driving along and you see the McDonald's employees picking up trash on the side of the road. They could say, "Look, we're not responsible that those people that buy our products throw the stuff out their windows." But they're taking a positive step to reinforce, you know, who McDonald's are. We also talked with someone, and this was really a shocking, it was in a focus group, and a woman says she decides what store she shops at quite often by the parking lot. She says if she sees people, you know, loitering, if she sees cigarette butts around the store, if she, you know, the store isn't well lit, etc., she won't go in. Now, this shopkeeper spent all of his time, all of his effort in trying to make the inside of the store perfect. Many customers were never getting in there.
Right. They weren't getting past the wrapping.
They weren't getting past, exactly right. And so one of the things that we're saying to do is to actually look at each one of these interactions. And keep in mind, Jim, that the interactions don't have to be with people. I mean, it can be with a parking lot. It can be with the front of the store. One of the problems that they have is so many stores put so much junk on the windows. advertising, etc. We want employees now, and things of that nature that people really don't get to see how charming the inside of the shops might be.
There's another way that they contact you, they approach your business, which is not in person, that's by phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, and I know you and I have mentioned this maybe once or twice before, but these automated phone answering services, systems, whatever they're called,
yep,
drive me nuts.
Well, they're a disgrace. They're absolutely a disgrace. And I have seen some people make some changes, and you probably have seen them too. First of all, a human answers the phone now.
Yeah.
And you say, is such and such there? I'd like to speak to such and such. And they'll say, 1 minute, I'll check. And they come back and they say, he's not available. Would you like to leave a message with me or his voicemail? Now, to me, that's perfect.
Yeah.
We can't be responsible that someone is sitting there waiting for us to call them.
And if the guy wants to give you a message, and you're that person taking that message, and he wants that instead of the voicemail, don't act like he's ruined your day.
Absolutely correct.
Stand by, John. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. John Stanton and I are going to continue our discussion on customer audits. Stay with us. All right, we're back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. It's 54 after the hour. Our special guest is our good friend, John Stanton. He is one of our customer service experts, a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's been with us several times before. He's the author of Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service. John, tell our audience where they can get your book.
Best place to get the book is Amazon.com.
All right. How about in bookstores?
It may be in your bookstores, or you can call the publisher directly and tell them you heard us on the radio on the Jim Blassingame show, and you'll get a 10% discount.
All right. Sounds good. I like giving those discounts out.
That's right. The number is 610-348-6646.
Good deal. And, folks, if you want to find out more about John, you can find him at the Brain Trust section of my website, which is smallbusinessadvocate.com. John, let's keep talking about the customer audit. We're coming up on the end of the hour. What are some things that we can do to help us establish a good customer audit? What about just driving up our sales with our eyes, not thinking of driving up to our business, but thinking of driving up to somebody else's business and just see how it hits us?
Well, the first thing you can do to give good customer service is give the correct telephone number.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it's 609-348-6646.
So much for good customer service, right, John?
That's right. And the second thing you can do to answer your question...
You think we take ourselves seriously around here? Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
That's okay. One of the things we really recommend doing is use a video camera. Just actually put that video camera on your shoulder, drive up to the store, walk into the store, try and do it, so that people don't, know necessarily who the person is, don't make a big deal out of it. But one of the most amazing things, we did some work with a convenience store, and we were analyzing the videotape that we were doing, and on the radio comes, that they play for music in the store, comes advertising for competitive stores.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, no.
That led to the decision, really, to have the canned music in the store instead
right.
of using commercial radio.
Right. Well, yeah, if you just put a radio station on, that could happen.
Sure. And that actually did happen, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the other real value for the video camera approach is there's two things, Jim. One is whenever we would go and do seminars and say, we've seen this, we've seen that, everyone denies it. That wasn't in our store. You have evidence of that. The second thing is you can analyze it. You can sit with a group of people and you can say, now what could we have done here and why did this happen? And we have a situation where there was a line of people to pay and an employee was taking inventory. Why was that? Well, there was an answer to that. The answer was that if he didn't get his inventory in on time, that guy would have been, been given a lot of, been in trouble.
Yeah. What amazes me, John, is when I see customers, me maybe, even being one of them, needing help, needing some kind of service, and I see an employee who sees all this going on, but literally acts as if it has nothing to do with him or her. That blows my mind.
It really does, and I still want to come down. I am the strongest protector in the world of the employees that comes down to management again. There's a supermarket in our area, and I know you have them in your area, that if you ask an employee where something is in the store, their job description says they must stop what they're doing and take the customer to that section.
Yes, yes.
I guarantee you, every store that doesn't have that in the job description, they don't do it.
You're
right. In the job description, because that's what the management wants. And
well,
let me give you a little...
John, can't have to hold that for next time. We've got to wrap it up.
You bet, Jim.
Thank you, sir. You did a great job.
Thank you ever so much.
As always, sir. See you later.
You bet. Bye-bye.
That's John Stanton, folks. I got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, like Howard, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.